Blog Talk Radio.
This is my testimony, everybody. How God favored me in spite of my enemies. And if God did it for me, he'll do the same thing for you. Don't worry about your haters. Your haters can't do nothing with you. Listen to these words.
Love
is patient.
Love is kind.
Love is felt most
when it's genuine.
I had a whole lot of people in my life who abused my love. They manipulated
it
and took the strength of it and tried to misuse it. But I can't help but to give God glory today.
When I
think about all I've been through,
that
I still came out on the winning side.
I
don't know about you, but I know that he favored me.
Because
my enemies,
they did try.
Sing it, y'all.
But
they couldn't triumph over
me.
Because great is he that is in me than he that's in the world.
That's
what they did.
That's what
they did.
They told
a whole lot of lies.
But
God favored me.
My character.
My
integrity.
My
faith in
God. But it would
not fall.
Would not bend.
Won't
compromise.
God
favored
me.
I spoke
life
and
prosperity.
I even spoke
health.
He favored
me.
All right. Good morning, everybody. How are you? This is August Crenshaw, your host, Lord, your host of As a Kid Radio Show. Always glad to be back. Always glad to have a conversation with you about what I feel the Lord has led me to discuss. I'm going to do things a little differently today, and actually just a little bit differently going forward. Just briefly announcing the dialogue sometimes is minimal, and sometimes it's kind of intense. And I had a girlfriend reach out to me and say, you know what, sometimes when you're talking, I'm like, yeah, and it makes me have a thought or a question, and then you give the opportunity to ask the questions or to make the comments towards the end of the show, and sometimes I just find myself forgetting, you know. She's somebody that actually listens from work, so she's kind of like got to use those moments or opportunities like right in and there. So you know what, I may begin to speak, and some of the things I say, they may intrigue you, raise a red flag, you feel like you need to put a rebuttal out there, you know, hey, let's exchange a dialogue. For people that are newcomers, all you do is push the button one. Once you push the one, it prompts me. I realize that there's a caller out there with a question or a comment, and unless I'm in the middle of a thought, I will just chime you right in, you know, but I'm always on the lookout for that. So, but welcome back. It's good to be here. You know, there's so much going on always. I'm always meeting people, having conversations, talking to friends, and looking at what's happening with the people in the kingdom of God. And today's topic, we're going to kind of go, I guess we could say it's left field. I don't really think it's left field, but, you know, I've been having all these conversations about faith and trusting God and moving forward and accomplishing your dreams. But today we're going to switch it. We're going to speak on the reverse. You know, for those of you that are logged in with Facebook with me, you saw that I put the post out there. You know, is poverty okay in the kingdom? You know, is that something that's actually supposed to exist? And I'm going to go ahead and tell you my answer. But before I tell you my answer, just understand this. My definition of poverty and what you're thinking of as poverty may not be the same. So you know how I am. I always go ahead and just throw it out there where I stand. And then I begin to give, you know, my comments and practical information as well as scriptures and have you follow with me. And then go from there. But my answer to the question is yes. And I believe that I have the scripture that validates that. Remember, all I need is one. And the reason why I always say I only need one is because there are, you need an example of in order to justify. See, that one example in the Bible may apply to a million people. That would, another example in the Bible may apply to 8 million people, but all I need is just one. And so today is going to be one of those have your Bible out, get your pad and your pen type of days, or go back and listen to the archive to make sure you get the scriptures. And let me just give you a little bit of feedback before we even go into the scriptures so you can kind of be surfing through your word. I'm going to let you know right now I'm coming out of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. But I've been moved for a little while now and finally went and visited a church. And at the end of church, I saw this sharp-dressed woman, you know, would remind me of my great-grandmama did. And when we were leaving the church, I saw her on the bus stop. Now, a long time ago, and when I say a long time ago, not really that long ago, I saw the woman, and I would have been like, oh, my God, because this church is kind of like a mega church, and I see somebody's already chimed in to ask a question or make a comment. Let me just give this little brief snippet, and I'm going to go ahead and pull them up. But so here's the deal. You know, a long time ago, I would have been like, oh, my God. I done just went to this church, and it's all big and huge, and they got all this money and talking about all these programs, and then here it is, this old woman on the bus stop. But you know what? I don't know why she's on the bus stop. I mean, how many of us actually do that? We see a snippet of something, and then we automatically begin to draw inferences and speculate. But it would be like, you know, but how do we know that she isn't on the bus because she's just one of those older women that's just independent? No, she doesn't drive anymore, but she likes to take pride in getting around on her own. Or she was sharp dressed. I mean, she didn't look like she was mad. She was perfectly content. You know, so when I say poverty, please understand, poverty and poor, I'm not talking about the world standard of poor. I'm not talking about where you on the street homeless and having to beg for food. I'm just talking about not living a life that's as rich or as fluid as some other people's lives are. But before I get into the scriptures, we got somebody with a question, a comment. Let me go ahead and chime in and see what's going on. Hello, caller. How are you? Okay, I'm looking at a 336 area code. I'm thinking you may have accidentally.
Hello? How are you doing this morning? Yeah, how are you
doing
this morning?
I'm doing good. I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing great. I just wanted to join your show and be a part of it.
Okay. Anytime you push the one, it might have happened by accident. That's going to prompt me to let me know you have a question. So if something comes up and you have a question or comment, just do that again. I'm going to go ahead and put you on mute, and we're going to go back so I can begin to expound on what I believe God gave me. But thank you, sir.
Amen.
Okay. So, yeah, but, I mean, think about it. How many of us have done that? I mean, if you've ever been in a church and you seem like the pastor's always preaching about prosperity or money or giving, and then you see the single mom with three kids, you know, you're like, why they don't have this kind of program, or you see the pastor driving a particular type of car or the people that's in the in crowd, you know, and a lot of times when we begin to talk about lack and abundance, there becomes this big old separation in the church. And the thing about it is there isn't supposed to be. And somewhere in the kingdom, I think we've lost our perspective on why the situation even is that it is. You know, before giving money is the objective. Giving love, as the pastor said yesterday, is the objective. Now, this pastor was talking about just giving to the church, period. He was on point with the scriptures. I don't have any problem with that. But I'm like, you know, well, let's go on the other side. He was talking about giving and doing what you're doing in the church. I'm talking about doing what you're doing in the kingdom. Okay, so let's just go ahead and cut to the chase. Let's look at these scriptures that I want to bring up, and let's see if we can't connect some dots. The first scripture, like I said, is going to be coming out of 2 Corinthians, and it's in the 8th chapter. And then the next scripture we're going to do is going to come out of Luke chapter 6. So here we go in 2 Corinthians. We're in chapter 8. Now, let me just read one verse first at the top. It says in chapter 8, verse 2 of 2 Corinthians, how that in greater trial of affliction and abundance of their joy, and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Whoa. Now, the key, the word is there. So here we go. We're talking about the church in Macedonia. They have a lot of afflictions going on. They have a lot of poverty going on, but it says that they have an abundance of joy. Okay? We're going to leave that right there. I just want that one little verse, but that verse isn't going to be my justification for why things are the way that they are, but it's just proof that financial gain and prosperity can't be what prompts that peace that passes all understanding. So go down to verse 8. We're still in chapter 8. It says, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, prove the sincerity of your love. He says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice. For this is expedient for you, who have begun before, not only to do so, but also to be forward a year ago. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of what you have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye are burdened, but by an equality that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, and their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that hath gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. That would be the Israelites in the wilderness and how the Lord made manna. He said, take what you need, nothing more, nothing less, so that you have everything. Now, but look at this. Let's look at this picture. Let's paint it. I always tell you, go back, read the whole chapter, do your own investigation. I take snippets out and expound on that because we can't always read everything that's on the pages. But look at this situation. There's this parallel of look at God and Jesus, in the form of Jesus Christ as a man who took and stripped everything that he had away from him, but yet he was still able to give. He was able to give. So wait a minute. Jesus didn't come down here giving a whole bunch of money. He didn't come down here flossing and riding and bling-blinging and saying, here, you know, brother, you guys, you need a coin here. Here goes the Caesar coin. Here goes this. He wasn't like that. What he gave was knowledge. What he gave was the mind. What he gave was healing. What he gave was the word. What he gave was himself continuously to help the people gain more, to gain life. And after he left, the Christians that truly grasped who he was after the day of Pentecost, if you go read the book of Acts, you see the same scripture where it talks about how the people in the church put together all that they had, and then they spread it out amongst each other so that nobody lacked. Now, there were some people, you look, this is how it is right now. Some of us, we got 3 and 4 cars. Some of us, we don't have any. Some of us can afford steak and eggs. Some of us can barely afford peanut butter and jelly. So what's the holdup? Why is there this big feeling of poverty or people being without in the kingdom when some of us have it to actually give? You know, I'll use myself for an example. I pretty much always do. I use other people's testimonies too. But God blessed me and my husband, where, you know, he was able to get a work truck because he ran his own company when we were in St. Louis. We had a family vehicle, and then we had, you know, just a standard, I call it the fuel economy vehicle, and we also had a fourth vehicle. Now, we don't need all of those vehicles. We knew why we had the work truck. Our family had grew. We knew why we had the non-gas guzzling one, and we knew why we had the family vehicle. That other vehicle, it was unnecessary. So when it was time to get rid of that vehicle, it wasn't, God could have spoken to us to sell it. He could have spoken to us to give it. In our mind, God said sell it and sell it at a reasonable price. Now some people might want to, but see, this is why you got to, let me say this first, this is why you got to know the Holy Spirit. Because some people will argue with you, well, you know, especially since you're talking about giving and all that, August, why y'all didn't just give the car away? Just because we had all of these things doesn't mean that we didn't still have responsibilities. God gave us something as a provision to be able to have a little financial increase, but he also gave us something to help someone who was in need of transportation. Now, it just so happened, if this woman was available, she would let you know. Someone called me and said, hey, I heard you selling your car. I know Sister So-and-so needs a car. If the Lord says the same, why don't you call her and see if y'all can work out a deal? I called the woman. I say, hey, we're selling our car. I heard you need a car. Do you still need a car? Yes, I do. Okay, well, here's the car, and this is what we're believing to sell it for. Now, mind you, when my husband and I talked, we had a value that was 500 greater in our mind. But when I was speaking to the woman, the Lord kept saying a number that was $500 lesser. So when I told her, yeah, you know, that's cool. We're looking at selling the vehicle for this price, blah, 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 blah. She said, okay, talk to your husband then and make sure that it's okay. I said, well, we've already talked about it. And my husband knows me, and we are on one accord. I said, the only thing I need to let him know is that the Holy Spirit spoke to me and told me to say a value that was $500 less than what we originally said. But we're connected enough that we're okay. So you just get your stuff together. We'll get together and go from there. And she said, oh, my God. She said, if you would have said that other value, I would have said that car is not for me. Because when I went before the Father and told him I needed a car, he allotted me this amount of money to purchase a car. So you see that? So that's a personal experience. See, those are those phenomenal things of God. We'd be waiting to see how he moves, but if you just sit and listen to him, he's moving in the kingdom and he's doing miraculous things all the time. But our abundance filled her need. You see that? So it's not really necessarily that poverty is supposed to be in the kingdom, meaning that we're supposed to be poor and without, because, see, that would contradict the word. He said that he would supply all of our needs according to his riches and his glory in Christ Jesus. But part of how he does that is through his little mini Jesuses, okay? That would be through us. And instead of always looking for and judging people and figuring out why their circumstance or situation is what it is, how about we just realize that God has given us an abundance? Why don't we go ahead and pass this on to Sister So-and-so? Why don't we give this to Brother such-and-such? You know, and the thing about it is a lot of churches got this together. Don't get it twisted what I'm about to say. I'm not saying that there's something wrong with churches that have food pantries and drives and all kind of organizations. But, church, we have got to get past needing an organization to understand how to give. We have got to get past needing to be a part of something to know how to feel the need of a brother and sister in Christ. I live with a grandmother that every once in a while I would see a random person just sitting at the dining room table because she saw them outside and she would be like, baby, you look like you're hungry. Come in here and get something to eat. I don't even know if she knows that I remember that. I might have been young, but I remember it. She didn't tell them, you know what? I go to such and such such Baptist church, and we got a food pantry there, and it's open on Monday through Friday at this time and on Saturday and such and such and such. She didn't send them somewhere. That lines up with the scriptures. When you see a brother in need, Jesus says supply the need right then and there. Do not go and tell them that you'll pray for them. Don't send them away if you have it and you have the ability to give. Now, I'm firm on this, people. I'm firm on the reason why there's some lack in the church. It's not because people aren't necessarily doing what they're supposed to do. It's because we're not doing what we're supposed to do towards one another in love to shield that lack. And I ain't talking about the users and abusers. I'm talking about people that we know are in the kingdom. Come on now, y'all. I don't know about y'all, but I know about me. I got some friends who are good stewards over their money. They're doing the best that they can, but they don't have necessarily the same advantages, and they weren't given maybe the same gifts, and they work the best with what they got, and they have joy. They men and women of God, but in my heart, I want them to have more. But if they have peace that passes all content, beloved above all things, if they are prospered and they are in health as their soul is prospering, then who am I to say what their abundance should look like? Go to Luke chapter 6 with me real quick, because I really want to make sure we get the point that this whole concept of dealing with poverty really isn't about looking at the person. It isn't about looking outside. It's about looking inside. If you go to Luke chapter 6 and you start at verse 35, in verse 35 it says, "But love ye your enemies, and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. And ye shall be children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father is also merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." Why did I bring this passage of scripture up? I skipped down to 35. But above that, Jesus keeps going on and on and on and on about, look, y'all got to be willing to go above and beyond. Don't nobody care if you give to somebody that you love. Even the sinners do that. Don't nobody care if you give and then you expect something in return. Even the sinners do that. But how much greater is it to you, for you to even bless somebody that's your enemy? And what's sad is we got people in the church that we believe are our enemies. The people that are non-kingdom oriented, the spirit that dwells in them, that's the real enemy, because we war not against flesh and blood, but we be looking at people like, that's my straight-up enemy. But if you feel that way, you need to bless them even more. I hear people quote this scripture all the time, give and it shall be given. Yeah, well, give to your enemy and it shall be given. Now, if God is going to bless you that greatly for being able to understand that you can still bless someone who you deem unworthy, then how can you not get blessed even the more? As he said in Galatians chapter 6, God is not to be mocked. As sure as a man's souls he's going to reap, then how much greater should it be to fill the need? So, you know, a need in the kingdom, not complete destitution, a need, unless it's because of a tragedy, because there could be complete destitution. Let me add that in there. But a need in the kingdom is an opportunity for you to perform your duties and act like a man or woman of God. It is an opportunity for you to show that his love indwells in you. Some of us, we've gotten so spiritual, we've gotten so high, and we've gotten so comfortable with all that God has given us that somewhere along the line that we have forgotten that serving is what makes you the greater in the kingdom. The slave is the one that's the greater, not the person who has the most things. Think about it. Even if you go read Isaiah chapter 58, I call that the fasting chapter because that's when God breaks it down. If you're going to fast, you're going to fast the way I want you to. He spends more time talking about your behavior when you're fasting than anything else. So while you up here, you all holy and you high and you feeling God and he loves you and you're in his presence. I know a lot of people, when they go through these, they do it shut-in style. Yeah, I was fasting, and I just went into my prayer closet. I told my family not to touch me, not to talk to me, to leave me alone so I could spend my time with the Lord. But I ain't trying to be funny. Go read chapter 58, verses 10 through 11, talking about how you're supposed to clothe the naked and feed the hungry. I think it's so. I don't remember the exact verse, but where it talks about how you're not supposed to hide your flesh from your family. The essence of God's love comes out through us by interacting with people. See, in the scriptures, when the little boy had the problem and they said, whose fault is this? Is it the mother's or is it the father's or is it the child? Who sinned? Jesus said, ain't nobody's fault other than the fact that God wants to show his power. So, yeah, you have people that aren't necessarily in the situations that you believe that they're in, but how about you let God show his power through you? Don't sit back and sit there and keep on trying to judge why sister so-and-so and such or brother this and that is in the situation that they're in, because there was a time, because while we were enemies of God, he yet died on the cross for us. So while people are looking like they're undeserving, how about that same grace and mercy, as it says in Luke, you know, don't judge or condemn too quickly, because at some point, at some season in our lives, we were those individuals. And if we keep on listening to pastors preaching about how, you know, you're not really experiencing the fullness of God unless you get this or unless you do that, you know, and unless you, you know, there's a connection. Even though they're not necessarily saying this in the pulpit, come on, people, we talk to the people who get convicted by this stuff and be like, well, I've been praying for the Lord to bless me with a new job. I've been praying for a raise. I've been praying for an increase. I've been trying to get a new job. I'm trying not to spend as much money. You hear the people, they hear the messages, and then they begin to feel condemned because their life and their situation doesn't look like what they believe that it should look like because of what's being put out there. Let me give you a secular example. Many, many, many times in my life, I've tried different, I'm an entrepreneur by heart. I tried everything. Herbalife, Mary Kay, Prime America, I'ma stop. Trust me, I got plenty more. Social Zing, okay, no, I'ma really, really stop. I tried some of everything. And one of the things that they always do is they pump up the entrepreneur. Yeah, you know, because you're not feeling the abundance of life and you don't have time to be able to go to your kids' things and, you know, you need to take off of work and you should be able to vacation when you want to and you should be able to live where you want to and drive where you want to, and this is the whole point of why you should be doing this. And a lot of them get into the Word of God. And they put this stuff out here, and so many people are like, yeah, yeah, because deep down in your heart, that's what you want. You want more of it, and so you find yourself in it. And then they'd be like, yeah, you know, some people got an employee mentality. You leave that to them. But let's talk about the entrepreneurs, and they really puff up the entrepreneur. They puff up the independent business owner. But hey, I don't know about you, but in my lifetime, I've known some people that ain't do nothing but bag groceries. And they loved their job. Think about it. If everybody has an entrepreneurial mindset, even with these companies that I work for, then who's going to be the person that's going to be at the call center answering the questions? Who's going to be the tech support? Who's going to be the person filing all the papers and stuff that you submit and the receipts and all of these things? Somebody has to have an employee mentality, and having an employee mentality is not a bad thing. The question is there a peace of mind? So poverty, the word poverty just meaning not as much of abundance, a lack compared to what other people in the kingdom have, that can very well exist and does exist. The bottom line is you need to let the Holy Spirit speak through you before you start coming down on people telling them how much more they should have, how much greater their lives should be, because you are just speaking off of what the Lord is speaking to you or what you heard him speaking to somebody else. That message in the context of having an extreme increase in abundant amount is not for everybody. There are some people who say, I like my job. You know, it may not pay as much. Hello, teachers. Where would we be without the teachers? The ones that, you know, especially the old school ones that I have, I got memories of some teachers, some good ones, who loved their job and did their job, and they felt fulfilled. So they felt fulfilled because of what they accomplished. Even if they finally got that one student to read, whatever it was, they had joy in that thing. And it wasn't because they were working on a university level and they had tenure and, you know, no, they might have been just your little third grade, fourth grade teacher making a little bit of money that they were making, doing what they were doing to survive. But that didn't mean that they were living a life of mediocrity. That didn't mean that their life was any lesser. So I said all of this stuff, and I'm talking as if we're talking about people other than us, but let's put it on us. Hello, are we happy? Are we content? And do we thank God, and is there a peace of mind? As he said, in all things give thanks. He said, rejoice, and then again I say rejoice. How many of us are living a life right now where in spite of the circumstances, we truly have joy in what God has given? Because he said he's never seen the righteous forsaken nor seed begging bread. He said that he would supply all our needs. He said, seek the kingdom first and all these things would be added unto you. These are all the things that God said about people and having their needs fulfilled. That's the question. Are your needs being fulfilled? See, here's the other thing, too. The Bible says that God exalts the humble and he resists the proud. Are you being too proud because even though your needs keep getting met, they keep getting met in a way that's uncomfortable for you? See, when we were living in St. Louis, me and my husband had it going on. Every time you turned around, Sometimes it was as little as $20. Sometimes it almost got up to $1,000, where somebody was in need of something, and we would come out and say, okay, we want to bless this person. We want to help them. And so we had an abundant amount of things. But even though we had an abundant amount of things, people, we still were very humble. I mean, and if we weren't, I want somebody to tell me that we were not. We had a gorgeous home, but over 80% of the stuff that was in our house was given to us. Somebody else's trash became our treasure. I used it to find out that there was a decor gene in me from my grandma. I reupholstered furniture, redid dining room sets. I was sewing and stitching. Blessings and gifts came out of me that I didn't even know existed. We didn't go and buy the latest and greatest furniture, but what we did have, we accented and we accented it well, and we worked with what we had. Hello? And I'm telling you, God would give us so much that we would get an overflow and have to call somebody else. You need some clothes? You need some shoes? Somebody gave us a TV stand. We don't even have enough TVs. You need a TV stand? We got an extra TV. Do you need a TV? Bam. And that's what I'm talking about. See, when he said he'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that your storehouse couldn't receive it, well, then where it's supposed to go? It's supposed to be so much that there's an overflow. I love that song by Israel and Newbury, Overflow. There should be an overflow of what God is giving to you so that you can pass it on to somebody else. But now here we are in a whole new city where we've given up our businesses. My husband, mine is virtual. It's on the internet, but you get what I'm saying for those of you that follow my story. He's given up his business. He gave up his high-paying job, all because we believe that we've relocated to be somewhere else that God wants us to be. And he's given us shelter. He's given us income. He's given us food, but it's a transition. You know, now we're living in a real nice apartment, but we just came from having a 4-bedroom, 2.5-bathroom house, you know, finished basement, et cetera, fenced in yard, you know. So do we look now and say God is a God that works backwards? Are we shifting towards poverty? Or are we just shifting to another degree and, you know, we started from the bottom, now we're here. Are we doing something completely different in a different area and an arena, and God is having a season to test our faith and to let us see how he could provide? Because, baby, we had times where we got down to the day where, thank you, Jesus, the mail came. Here's the check, while we went through this transition. So we don't have everything that we had when we were in St. Louis, and if the material possessions were what kept us going, then we would not be happy right now. With the amount of money that we were making in St. Louis and the amount of money that we're making now with the cost of living being different, if you look at it statistically, you can look at it physically and say, oh, yeah, I'm still doing good. But when I got to balance the budget, it's like, oh, Lord, I'm going to have to go check what the standards is down here, because I think we borderline poverty or considered poverty. But you can't tell. You cannot tell because of the way the Lord has blessed us. So when you're looking at your life and your situation, when you're looking at your friends and your family and your community around you, are you looking at them as if there's something wrong with them because they don't have what you think they should have? Hold up. We got a caller with a question or comment. Hey, caller, how are you?
Hi, August.
Well, hello. How are you, lady? What's going on?
Hey. I was just listening to what you were saying, and I think this is so good. It's such a tender spot for me. It's more so of a comment than I have a question. Talking about poverty, wow. I had to be writing some notes. Because it's interesting when you say poverty and we try to define what poverty is, because I think it's so important to look at it, not saying, okay, poverty compared to the world, but what is my status? What do I look like compared to my purpose, like God's purpose? Because it's interesting when we take it and we say, okay, well, I have a 4-bedroom house and 2 baths, you know what I mean? I'm poor compared to Bill Gates, you know what I mean? But as when we look at it and say, okay, God has called me to do X, Y, and Z in my life, and I know in order to do X, Y, and Z, this is going to be my life, and that's okay. So maybe that doesn't look like, you know, a west wing and an east wing in my home and 4 cars and a yacht, and that's okay. So I totally, mimic what you're saying when you say, you know, what do we look like when we align it with God? Like, what do we, what does our status look like? What does poverty look like when we align it to what God has called us to do? And it's so interesting because when we flip it and look at it, like, just, you know, our source. And when you talk about, you know, the church and how somebody will send you to a food pantry before they'll take out something from the refrigerator and give it to you or send, you know, give you a gift certificate to a grocery store, you question, you know, where is that Caribbean church, you know what I mean, where everybody kind of pulls mm-hmm. everything together. And it's interesting because I think it's a point where even if you look at the Jewish community, and I worked with, you know, within the JCCA here in St. Louis for a while, and I look at how they even distribute things within their own community and how long mm-hmm. the dollar stays within that community and how it's so about community and they help each other. And you look at other churches, and I mean, I wouldn't even just say it's a black church thing, but even, you know, predominantly white churches, you'll see that you won't see that same sense of community as you do with other ethnicities, especially the Jews. And it's really a matter of who is your source, who is, you know, mm-hmm. do you have that, you know, is it your job, is your paycheck, or is it going to be, you know, is it really, do you really believe that God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory? So I just wanted to, that was my comment, I just wanted to copycat what you were saying because I thought that was so good and people need to hear this because, I mean, it really takes a body. It takes a body. And if there's a body part that's lacking, we have to make sure that we're able to help them get to, you know, I mean, full functioning.
I want to make a comment because you hit it on the nerve and you put something out there that I didn't necessarily say. I don't think I said this at all. But I want to expound on something that you said. I'm going to keep you on the air just in case you want to say something back. The thing about the source, who are you trusting? Because, see, now think about it, people. You know, we look at some people and see you driving a car and you have the house, so you have the look. But come on now, how many of us know people that have the look, but they're in poverty because they're living literally paycheck to paycheck. God forbid one little bitty thing changes, and they're going to have to call somebody to pay something because they, oh, my God. A lot of people that have money and have things, they barely paying their bills before they 30 days past due. They're credit is shot. When they first got started, they had credit, they overextended themselves, and they can't even afford what they got. So when you have a person like that who may be bringing in, you know, $1,200 a week, how do you help the sister with the single mom who's only bringing in $450 a week because you need every dime that you got? Because you making your life happen. You are working hard to have the things that you have so you don't have the room to give. So once again, like you said, asking that question in relationship to God, are you successful and prosperous, or even though you look different, are you still in poverty? Now, are you feeling me with that? Taking what you said, we're piggybacking off of each other.
You know what? I just, it's funny because I'm getting revelation as you talk, and we go back and forth because you just even saying that, I mean, you know my story, and I don't know who else, you know, whoever, everyone else is on the line. I quit my job, and it was an urgency in my spirit. Holy Spirit quit my, you know, definitely very clear that my job was my source. I was comfortable in my career. I was growing, doing very well. And one day, I mean, things just began to decline. And, I mean, it was just emotionally, not necessarily with work, but emotionally, spiritually, I just could feel myself really going into a depression because God had already said, like, I'm not your source anymore. Your job is. You're waiting. This paycheck, these investments, that's what keeps you going. That's what you're concerned about. That's where your heart is. And so it was me having to leave my job to literally make a statement to God to say, no, Lord, you are my source. I step back. This is what you want me to do. I'll do what you want me to do. You take me where you want me to go. And I've seen my life drastically change. But when you just said that, what made me think, I just, it is, it is almost, it is so detrimental to the body when you have individuals like my, who I was before, who literally, when you think, have a different source financially other than Christ. Like when it's something different, because I think about just how you were saying, when people come together and you're able to bless people, when it becomes your own thing and you're making things work, you're killing, you're literally, you're destroying the body. It's, you're destroying it because there's no way, you know, you, there are pieces, there are parts of the body that are literally deteriorating. You have people who are slipping. You have people who can't make it, who are really trying, and you have the means, you could have the means, but as a result of your lack of faith or your distrust, and but you're still saying, you're still sending them to the food pantry, you still say you're a Christian, you're misrepresenting the body of Christ, so like grossly misrepresenting the body of Christ. And it's, yeah. I mean, I just, when you said that, it just kind of took me back, because I'm like, oh my God, like it's really a situation where being disobedient and allowing something else to be your source financially, and even in any other ways, but I know we're talking about, it's more towards money right now, but when we're talking, I mean, it's, it's detrimental. I mean, I don't think even, I didn't even realize it until when you just said that, but I think that's something people need to hear. It's really detrimental to the body as Christians.
Amen. Okay, I'm muting you out just in case someone else comes in. But as I said before, for newcomers, press 1 if you want to be prompted because you have a question or comment. But that is significant. Okay, we have another one coming in. I'm going to make a comment in reference to what she said really quickly and let the other individual speak. I think that's very vital for you to understand what she just said, that you're hurting the body. You know, when you get into a later chapter in Corinthians, it talks about you, one piece of the body can esteem itself greater than the other, and the eye can't say that, you know, it doesn't need the foot. We're a collective organism, and we need one another. And this pride that makes us feel that we can do what we do on our own, it is detrimental, because you're basically, what you're saying is you're doing it, you're performing an amputation. So if you are the leg, you're saying, I'm cutting myself off from you. Now let me see you survive without the rest of the body. And let me see how comfortable the rest of the body survives without you. You know, take that analogy, but let me go ahead and go to the next caller because I could talk all day. Just a second. Good morning, caller. How are you?
Good morning.
So I'm with each question and
The conversation is very interesting because I just had this conversation yesterday with one of my sisters at church. On the other hand, I'm the opposite, you know, from being dependent on a check because I'm self-employed. So, in me being self-employed, I have faith, and I trust and believe God will give me the finances that I need to sustain myself or my lifestyle. And so I have to have the faith in God in order to stay self-employed, especially with the economy the way it is now. So I don't have that dependency where I could just say, oh, well, I know I'm going to get this amount of money, I know I'm going to get that amount of money. It's really made me stay closer to God because I, you know that if he'll feed the birds and he'll feed the fish and, you know, the tree will grow. And I believe because he supplies all the needs for everything in this world to keep growing and being successful and all those things, and I know he'll do the same for me. So that's where my walk is in, not necessarily just, you know, I know he'll supply all my needs because he's been doing it. And I've been able to maintain with this lifestyle with being self-employed. So, I can't depend on myself because I know it's not me doing it. I know it is God. So I think being self-employed right now is a lot depending on my faith and me trusting God to keep me funded and able to maintain my life. And I thank him for it.
Gotcha. Amen. And so basically what you're saying is the same thing as the sister said before you, having the standard status quo be how you dictate the way you're going to survive is not it. You know, there is some great things that can come from an individual when you do operate as an entrepreneur, not singling out an entrepreneur versus anyone else. But, yeah, when you are an entrepreneur, you put yourself in a position where trusting God is going to have to be of the utmost, because there isn't a guarantee that I'm going to give you blank amount of dollars per hour, and as long as you do your 40 weeks and, you know, if you don't get the vacation time and things like that. So, you know, I applaud both of you women for saying, you know what, in spite of it all, I know that I have to trust God, and I know that I'm doing what he wants me to do. You know, me saying this because of the specific person that just called in, they work as a hairstylist, and we were just a hairstylist, not in the same salons when I was back in St. Louis, but working as a hairstylist, that right there is an excellent opportunity for ministry. You get to know people in ways that other people don't. People spend so much time with you. They confide in you and tell you things that they might not necessarily tell others. So you get a chance to get into the core of people and get a chance to enlighten them about the word, to pray with them, to just be a friend sometimes without necessarily having, you know, nothing wrong with the name of Jesus coming out of your mouth, but not necessarily having Jesus coming out of your mouth, just actually just being a friend. So both women, like I said, you definitely have stepped out there very boldly, you know, in the name of God, and understanding that what you've been given to do is actually a blessing, but it lacks securities that are naturally in for other people in the work world or in the economy. The bottom line is, people, I don't know. There are a plethora of reasons why certain people's circumstances are different than others. I mean, government oppression. We've got people that do poor stewardship of their money. People could be victims of storms. It could be because of the economy. It could be because of so many different things why individuals are in the situation that they're in. That's not the question. The question is, what can we do and what do we do in order to help out? It's kind of like back in the day, my grandma had to tell me, when you see someone on the street, baby, if you're going to give them the dollar, just give it to them. You know, when they begging, you don't judge because you don't know why they are. If you're going to give it, then you give it to them and you let God be the one to handle the rest, because that may be the make or break circumstance for that individual. So, like I said, let's just make sure that we keep things in the proper perspective. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 2, you can be in poverty but still have joy. But once again, what does that poverty look like? Because these people were in poverty, but they did not lack. So lacking is not in alignment with what God has for the life of a man or woman of God. But the question is, are you praying and hoping that God helps somebody, or are you going out there and being the source? And I'm going to throw this last thought out there to you, because I threw the example out there. I'm not anti-food pantry. I have given and I've helped in food pantries in different churches. But I just want you to think about one scripture in Matthew chapter 6 where it talks about the giving of alms. Jesus said, he gave a bunch of these do's and don'ts. He said, you know, when you give, don't give out in public. Give privately. Don't let the left hand know what the right hand is doing, because what you give in the secret, God will reward you out in the open. Think about that. What has happened with the church that we are so comfortable when it's giving out in the open? Oh, I was such and such and such, this is a Baptist church or a Catholic church or whoever's church, and yes, and we have this and we give that. Well, what about the stuff that nobody ever knows about? You know, Sister So-and-so shouldn't always have to go to a food pantry to get the food, and everybody shouldn't have to see. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. I ain't talking about being prideful, but why does everybody have to see Sister So-and-so go to the pantry to get the food when you clean out your shelves that you're going to throw away? Yeah, just go back and do a quality assurance on yourself. How many suits and clothes do you have in your closet that you bought 3 years ago that still have tags on them that you never wore? How many shoes did you buy for that one time and they never wore again, but you keep on telling yourself you're going to put them back on? If you went and did a full revamp of your kitchen and took everything up out of your pantry and you cleaned out the shelves and wiped it down, how many of your labels on your food have expiration dates that have expired? You know, if you got food in your pantry that's expiring, you find yourself cooking meals and throwing food away on a regular basis, then maybe you need to reposition the way you shopping and you cooking and put yourself in a position to help somebody else that's in need. Because at the end of the day, the greatest gift that God gave was love and was giving of himself. And that's the greatest gift that we can give back, is the giving of love and giving of ourselves to each other. That's how people see the kingdom is real. Not because, you know, I'm not saying that this isn't an option, because I've experienced the power of God and his miracles, but it is not because, you know, you pray and then the person gets to come back to you and say, remember when we prayed together and this happened and that happened? No, stop it. Stop waiting for God to be the hand that moves. His spirit is in us. The word of God says that he is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. I mean, have you really ever absorbed that? He is the King of Kings. But Jesus is the Son of God. And I have been grafted into the family. I am of a holy priesthood, a royal generation. I am an heir and a joint heir. Whoa, I got a double blessing. I am a king or a queen. I am. So he's the king of king over me. He's the king of this king. Is he the king of you? Let him be the king of kings for all of us. Let him be the ruling authority of all of us. Let the Holy Spirit be what's operating in us to look at our brothers and sisters for what they need, and let's help one another. Let's get past this judgmental mentality. We'll know the difference, and the Holy Spirit will let us know. You know me, I like to preach balance. I've talked about people abusing the kingdom and stuff like that. That ain't what this topic is about today. This is about when we've been called to help one another. So I pray always that what's been shared has been a blessing. God's really been moving in my life. I thank him for the way that he's been blessing me and my family with this transition. For all of you that have walked with me, and you know what that is. And I thank him for being a provider. I thank him for letting me see his hand move in a way that I've never seen it move in my life, because I'm away from everything that I've ever known. And I'm away from my entire family save one cousin. So I thank God. May he continue to bless you and give you peace and give you encouragement in your circumstance and your situation. May you continue to move forward in the abundance that God has called for your life, and may you continue to have peace at where he's placed you at. And may we continue to not be judgmental or condemning towards our brothers and sisters, and accept their lives where they are. And can we just all share the abundant love that God has given us to give to one another? Join me next week. Remember, if you have any questions or comments that you didn't want to necessarily say on the air, you are welcome to email me at augustcrenshaw@yahoo.com. That's augustcrenshaw. Same name to find me on Facebook. Remember, I tell you, there's two of them. Select the one with the big old bushy hair, the one that has the picture. That would be just send me a friend request. I accept them all unless you do something really heinous. But find me on Facebook. I do dialogue there too. And we'll just move from there. So thank you all for being a part. And we will reconvene next week. You all have a blessed one. Bye-bye.